Have you ever asked, what is heaven? Is it another dimension, a paradise? Does it really even exist? We're all going to pass from this earth, and knowing what comes next can end the fear of death and bring you peace. Our goal here at Hello Heaven is to answer these questions and many more considering the afterlife. Welcome to our podcast, Hello Heaven. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our podcast, Hello Heaven. I'm Barry Strom, your host, and we come to you as a live stream each Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific time. Our goal is to bring you the truth about the afterlife and explain the many paths to heaven. Death's inevitable. The more you understand about it, the less you're going to fear it. We try to stay as non-denominational as possible, since we are all equal in the eyes of God, and he does not play favorites.
And I'm Connie Strom, your co-host. Last week, we brought you a guest that discussed the world of witches. They do exist. Marla Brooks is the host of Storying the Cauldron, and she is a witch. Witches get a bum rap, and I think you'd be very surprised to hear what Marla had to say. The interview is a great opportunity to learn about witches and witchcraft. Our two current YouTube channel is in the name of Barry Strom. We currently have over 600 videos on the channel, and you can view our past shows as we bring you all aspects of the paranormal and supernatural. If you'd like to download the audios of Hello Heaven shows, they're available at helloheaven.podbean.com as well. We're trying to use a unique format on Hello Heaven. We're using video calls where our listeners can tell a supernatural event that took place in their lives, or ask questions of a spirit. If you have a special event in your life, let us know, and we'll let you share it with our listeners. Keep in mind that we do not want to do personal channeling in these calls, unless it ties into something supernatural event, a supernatural event that will be of interest to all of our listeners.
Now, today, we're going to play two interviews, and we have absolutely no idea what the answers are going to be, or have any control over those answers. For that reason, we'll do a short disclaimer. The opinions or answers of our guests or channeled spirits do not reflect the opinions or words of our hosts or of the show. Now, we're always looking for individuals to record interviews for the show. If you'd like to appear in this program, send an email to onestrom@gmail.com. It's onestrom@gmail.com and tell us about your experiences or the topic of your questions, who you'd like to channel. And I'll get back to you with a time and we'll make a recording and all will go well. Now we do live Hello Heaven as a live stream on YouTube Live, as well as my personal Facebook page and in our Facebook groups. Our most active Facebook group is Words of God Then and Now, and all of our live videos are broadcast there. We love to have new people join the group. There's a lot of wonderful people there, and it will certainly help with your education of what's to come. You can also hear us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Google, Alexa, and many of the other audio platforms. Now, today, we're going to have a very, very interesting interview with Bill from Arizona. He has some very interesting questions for spirits. So, Bill, thank you for joining us. Okay, folks, let's get on with our interview for today. Bill lives in the wonderful sunny world of Phoenix. He's one of our members of our Words of God group. He truly believes, he does a lot to help us, and he has some questions. So, Bill, how are you?
Hello, Barry. Hello, Connie. How are things going with you in Salt Lake?
We're still shivering.
Not as well as they are with you in Phoenix.
No, it's a nice 82 degrees today, so I'm not complaining yet.
I do not want to hear that.
We're in the low 40s.
And you can see we still have sweaters on. You're in short sleeves. This must be great.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us, Bill. We're really looking forward to it.
It's my honor and my pleasure.
Okay. I understand you got a few questions you'd like to ask.
I do have a few questions, things that I've been pondering over the years. A little background on me, I did go to parochial grade school, parochial high schools, so I've been in the Lutheran church for many, many years. So these are just things that, as we were doing Bible studies, that questions that I've been pondering for the last 52 years or so. So,
well, we'll try to give you some answers. We have friends in high places.
I know that. So we'll start off with the book, the Bible. You know, I was taught the Bible is 100% accurate. You can't question it. Everything in it is true. Well, I found out differently by listening to Barry and all that. But here are some of the questions that I've had. Most of these are things that have happened in the Bible that most people learn about in Sunday school. So the first topic was the story of creation. The Trinity is the cornerstone in most religions. Is it possible that there are three persons, a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? They're three separate entities, but still one God. Or is God just God as an energy, and there are not separate entities acting as one?
God is truly an energy. God has never taken form on this planet other than when Jesus walked the earth. You see, what you must understand is that Jesus told everyone that he was the Son, because they were incapable of not understanding the fact that he truly was God incarnate. So according to the Gospels, Jesus was the Father, Jesus was the Son of God, and after he reincarnated, he returned and was once again the energy of God. So Jesus was simply two forms. He was God incarnate, and after the reincarnation, he was the energy once more of God from whence he came. He told the people that he was the Son of God. So therefore, if you follow his words, he would be the Trinity of which you speak.
Interesting. So I did have a question about creation. Did creation take 6 days, or is it something else?
Creation actually took place over a period of time. You see, there was a universe before the one of which you are familiar. And that universe was incapable of establishing the planets and life forms that we wanted them to establish. I am the God of not the universe, but of the galaxy. You see, each galaxy has its own God. So therefore, our energies are many and our energies are varied. We join together for the creation of what you are now seeing as the universe. This took place billions of years ago. And it may be that this universe is incapable of what we would like to accomplish in the future. It may be that there will be a time that we must create another type of universe. But that is truly conjecture for the future. We are focused on making this universe the best we can make it. And to do that, we must have a, shall we say, universal understanding that everyone must get along, and that the creatures on all planets must learn similar lessons.
I agree with that. Were we seeded by aliens?
No. You were created. Now, when you use the term aliens, you must use that term advisedly. Because all soul energies in our galaxy are the same. See, humans have only walked the earth for hundreds of thousands of years. The soul energies of humans or of any other beings have been around since creation, billions of years. And for the souls to have progressed in heaven as we speak, they have had to be around for a long, long time, especially to reach the upper levels. You see, advancement in heaven is not easy. So you have to live many lifetimes. What I'm trying to tell you is that you have lived many lifetimes on other planets before humans walked the earth. I established different life forms that were capable of evolving. The individual life form that I created evolved into what you are now calling humans. The apes were not capable of evolving into the form that we wished. So we started a separate but similar life form to apes, which have evolved into what you now call humans.
Wow, that's amazing. We've been told by Jesus many times that there really was never an Adam or an Eve or a Garden of Eden. If that's the case, is it true to believe that there also was not a Cain and Abel?
That is correct. The ancients attempted to explain how humans were created, and they could only conceive of creation as taking place by a man and a woman. They tried to formulate different sagas and stories as man evolved, and the ancients tried to formulate stories of how the individual would try to arrive at the notion of a single God. That was a very difficult concept for the ancients. They conceived that each type of element or energy would have its separate God. In the beginning, I sent back messengers to try to correct that concept. And it was before written histories were recorded, and much was done from memory. Stories were changed, memories faded, and in many cases, the information that was passed forth was not remembered properly. So you must understand how the agents reacted to these different situations.
So, in the book of Genesis, it mentions the Nephilim and the great ancients of old. And it states in Genesis that they'll talk more about that later, but nothing else was mentioned. So what was the writer alluding to? I think you kind of answered that question already, but do you have any other thoughts on that?
In that case, they were ancient aliens that interacted with the humans of that era. We felt that humans needed instruction in order to make large advances at that time. The Nephilim were sent to Earth in order to aid the humans.
So that is accurate that they did actually appear and help humans in the early days.
That is a fact, yes.
Okay. So a question about Noah's Ark. I think you've covered this quite a bit. Never was a guy named Noah, never an ark full of 2x2 animals, huh?
That would have been an impossibility. There is no way that a single ship could have held all of the individual animals on Earth. For instance, the animals of South America would not have been accessible to an ark in the Middle East. The polar bears, for instance, there's no way that you could have had 2x2 of all the animals into a single vehicle. There were instances of flooding. There were times that there were great rains, and there were times that the earth was warm and the ice caps were non-existent and water levels were very high. But there was never time that a time of Noah in which he saved the lives of all animals on earth.
So then all the stuff that proceeded after the Noah's Ark with Ham, Shep, Japheth, that really never happened. That was just all kind of made up and put into the Bible at that time.
Yes, that would be the best way to answer that.
Okay. Abraham and Lot. How old was Sarah when she had her child?
Sarah was 32 when she had her child.
And did God tell Abraham to sacrifice his child, her son?
No. God would never ask anyone to sacrifice their child. God would ask them to serve, but he would never ask for that type of sacrifice.
One on Lot. Lot is said to have lived in the Sodom and Gomorrah area. Is the story accurate? And when he fled, did his wife look back and turn into a pillar of salt?
She did not turn to a pillar of salt. There was a volcanic eruption in the area. And when she did turn back, she was killed by the volcanic action, and her body did become ash, but not salt.
Interesting. So it is mostly true as far as the story goes.
Yes. In many instances, there are natural occurrences that are written by the ancients, but not understood by the ancients.
Makes sense. Makes sense. Is the story of Moses, as depicted in the Bible, is it accurate?
No. Moses did exist, and he did lead his people. I did not part the Red Sea, but there were instances where I had to intercede for his safety. The journey lasted 3 years, and he did bring people to the area where I wanted them to reside.
And did God have direct communication with Moses and hand deliver the Ten Commandments?
God, he prayed, and his prayers were answered. There were not 10 answers, but Moses took the answers that he was given, and he scribbled them on stone so that he would not forget them. And the ancients converted those stones into the story of the Ten Commandments.
Now, one of the questions I did have in the beginnings of the Genesis chapters talks about people living to be 500, 600, 800 years old. And I know Moses was said to be very old when he finally asked to see God, and then he died from that experience and God buried him. Was there any truth to any of that?
Moses died a natural death of old age.
And humans didn't have exceptionally long life spans during that time?
Only if they kept time differently. Keep in mind that modern calendars did not exist in those days. So the concept of a shorter year may have applied, and the ancients did have a tendency to exaggerate what they were writing.
One of the Sunday school lessons that you're always taught in Sunday school is about Daniel in the lion's den. Was Daniel real, and did he survive being placed in the lion's den as depicted in the Bible?
There were times that individuals were protected. The Romans attempted in many instances to have Christians killed in different ways, especially by the wild animals. There were times that people's lives were saved and that they would survive the animals in the Roman Colosseums. It is possible that David was one of those people.
And would that be the same for the three men in the fiery furnace when they were placed in there by the king and they did not get any burns?
That would be the same type of situation.
I have a question about Methuselah. Was he a real person, and was he the longest living human? And did he also not die but was taken straight into heaven as the Bible suggests?
No. All humans die. All human souls pass into heaven in the same manner. When Jesus was crucified on the cross, his soul passed into heaven in the same manner of any other human, except for the fact of the resurrection, which came afterwards.
There was a god named Baal, and a false god. Is that story accurate? And then did God light the altar of Gideon and then consume the altar of Baal as stated in scripture?
That did not take place.
A question on the Jewish Torah. It has been taught that the Old Testament is the same as the Jewish Torah. Is it? It is said that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, and is that accurate?
Moses did not write the first five books. Moses was literate, but he was not capable of such writings.
And is the Old Testament similar to the Torah, or is it completely different?
It is completely different.
Okay. Don't know why they always told us, the Old Testament's same as the Torah. Okay. Well, then why aren't they the same? Not to offend, but why does it seem in comparing the Old Testament God versus the New Testament God in the Bible that God is angry and jealous, killing multiple people in the Old Testament, whereas in the New Testament, God seems to be a calmer and loving God?
In the New Testament, the messages were based on the life of Jesus and the words that Jesus spoke. Even though there were instances where the writers of the Gospels attempted to alter the words of Jesus to create fear, such as the establishment of a hell, that the concept of a burning hell is a human concept. Jesus never spoke, when he walked the earth, of a burning hell. In the Old Testament, times were very violent, and people did not truly understand the concept of a single deity. They thought that the violence that was at the hands of humans was at the hands of a certain deity. And because of the violence, they thought that the deities that they worshipped would also share the violent nature. Part of the mission of Jesus was to show that love and not hatred and violence is the true path.
I do have a couple of New Testament questions.
Yes, that was one of the miracles performed. But Lazarus had just passed. He came into contact with Lazarus as he was passing. And he did perform a miracle by having him return to life.
Were there other people that were raised from the dead that we don't know about when Jesus was on the earth?
Yes, Jesus performed multiple miracles that were not recorded.
In the church, we celebrate Palm Sunday before Easter. The story of Palm Sunday is that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey and went and found a place where they were preparing the Last Supper. Is that story accurate, or is there just bits and pieces of it that are true?
Bits and pieces are true. Jesus was traveling in a large group. There were many of his followers and their families with him. And they accompanied him as he entered Jerusalem. There were people that knew he was coming because many of his followers had gone into the town and had announced that they would be that Jesus would be entering and that he would be speaking. So there were people that welcomed him into town when he entered it. The night that he was arrested, he was on the Mount of Olives. There was no formal dinner that night. The followers all ate together, but there was no formal, shall we say, as seen in the famous oil painting of the Last Supper. Everything was very, very informal with Jesus. And the Last Supper, he told his followers that he would be leaving them. And that was the last time that he was ever with them.
So based on that statement, then Jesus did not create the Holy Communion as is known in the Christian world at that time. I was just wondering, where did that come from and how did that come about into the Catholic Church?
The Catholic Church created many of the beliefs that are incorporated into the Gospels. The Catholic Church had very difficult beginnings because the Romans were very adverse to individuals speaking of a single God. So the Catholic Church altered some of the speakings of Jesus so that the Romans would better accept the members that were following the religion. The Catholic Church created many of the concepts that you see in the modern masses that are held. The concept of an individual relying upon the church for entrance to heaven is one that was made up by the church. Because there are many people, all souls go to heaven. What happens to the soul in heaven is determined by their free will. But the Catholic Church wanted to be the sole source of information that led to salvation of the masses. So many things were determined as important so that the individuals would fear a hell and would rely upon the church.
So the sacraments of Holy Communion and Holy Baptism are a Catholic Church construct and not really anything instituted or commanded by God?
No, the concept of baptism that truly was done by John the Baptist. It was done simply in the river, and it created, shall we say, the doorway to the new life that Jesus was to follow. The concept of baptism and the cleansing of sins is symbolic and dates to the time of John the Baptist. The concept of communion was adapted from the fact that the followers of Jesus dined with him on the Mount of Olives that final evening. But there was no formal direction given by Jesus. It was simply a matter of dining and drinking together.
I know the book of Revelation, we're told, is written under evil energies. Would God be more pleased if we were just to remove those physically from our Bibles and have it stopped being put into the new Bibles?
It would be much more accurate if that took place.
The last thing I have here is I know the Bible has been told to be a good guide. Is there any other books, perhaps maybe the messages from God that Barry has put out, would that be a better guide for people interested in following the one true God?
The Bible remains a foundation of teachings. Many of the teachings are truly of God in concept. Jesus taught very simple messages. He never spoke in parables. He spoke so all could understand what was being said. If you take time to listen to the message that we are currently bringing you, then you will realize that all of the messages are incredibly simple and do truly relate the same words that Jesus spoke when he walked the earth. That is not to say that organized religions do not serve a great purpose. They do great charity work, but there are institutions that bring people to that church as a sole means of salvation. How a soul is judged in heaven is totally dependent on how the individual lives its life. So there is a point where individuals should listen to the modern messages, because those are truly the words coming from the Holy Spirits that are residing in heaven. Individuals should understand the true miracle of the messages that are being given at this time. But Each soul must make its own decision through its free will. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Those are some very good questions, Bill.
So good that God answered them himself.
Again, honored.
So you have had a busy day.
Thank you so much, Bill.
All right.
People are going to wonder why I'm shining today. I don't know.
Oh.
Well, should you come up with another batch of questions, let us know.
You never know.
Okay.
Bill, Fed, and there they come.
Okay. Bill, thank you so much. We truly appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you for taking the time and answering my questions. It was amazing.
Okay. Thank you.
Look forward to seeing you again sometime soon.
You will indeed.
Sounds good.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for some very good questions, Bill. I hope that the answers lived up to the expectations. We're now going to play another interview with Marie from Pennsylvania. She's going to tell us about some supernatural experiences that she had, as well as an encounter with the spirit of a famous psychic, Sylvia Brown. So here's our interview with Marie.
Okay, folks, today we're going to be hearing some stories from a young lady, Marie. She lives in Pennsylvania, and she's had some very, very exciting happenings in her life. I think that you're going to be very interested into it. So, Marie, how are you doing today?
Hi, Barry and Connie. Thank you very much. I'm good. Thank you.
Good. How's everything in Pennsylvania?
It is bright and sunny today. Thank you, God.
Indeed.
Okay. We've been talking, and you have a lot of things that have happened to you. God's been good to you in many ways, and he's been a little trying in others. So why don't you tell us one of your stories? We'll see how
Absolutely.
It goes.
Absolutely. Okay, well, first of all, I want to thank you very much for having this type of show that allows people to share their stories. So I'm going to begin with when I was a little girl, I had a calcium cyst in the bottom of my lip, and my mom prayed all night long for it to be removed. And miraculously, because I was supposed to have a surgery, and that surely did happen. When she woke me up, I saw her eyes were all swollen and crying, and I was like, "Mommy, what's wrong?" And she said, "We have to go to the doctors." And I opened up my lip and I said, "No, we don't." And it rubbed in my teeth and I had ulcers and it was awful. But it miraculously disappeared. And that was before I was going to school. And I came from a home where we went to church on Sundays as a family. And we always said prayers to Saint Anthony, and when we lost things, and I came from a home where we had a lot of laughter and sometimes a lot of tears, just I guess a normal family upbringing. But one of the moments that happened to me early on, I was 14 years old, and I lost my high school ring on a snowy morning, and the sun. Not the sun, but God's rays of light shined on this ring on a cornerstone of a garden after hours of trudging through the melted snow mud grounds. And it had gotten dusk, and I had asked God, "Please, Saint Anthony, anybody, please help me find this ring." I had just gotten it like 2 days prior. And so the beautiful beam of light came down on this ring for me, and I was 15.
Well, St. Anthony is very famous for helping you find things.
It was amazing.
Did you have a special prayer to him, or did you just ask him for help?
Just, yeah. "Dear St. Anthony, help me find this ring." So I also asked Mary. I said, "Mary, you're... picture is on the side of this ring. Every time I see your picture, I pray for somebody." And so it was really important to me to get this ring back. And we weren't a family that had a lot of jewelry or anything like that. And for my parents to actually let me get this high school ring was miraculous in itself. Yes, I got to see God's ray of light come out of the sky and shine on this ring. And then it actually happened another time on a lost dog. And it was amazing. I was 34 years old and I was an alcoholic and I was in complete stress and was screaming and crying that this dog was going to attack somebody. It was a vicious dog. And I put my hands in the air and I asked Mom, I was like, what do I do? What do I do? And she said, ask for Jesus' spirit to come in the dog. And God's light was holding the dog at the end of my alley when it turned dusk, just when I was about to give up. And I brought the dog home. And that dog was a miracle dog. I think it was like a guardian angel for me. It came into my life right before I went into rehab. And I've been successfully sober. It'll be 22 years this May 31st. So I have a really, really cool story, and it's about Sylvia Brown. So this story started way back in 1998 when I was driving home from Atlantic City. I used to quite like the gambling scene, and I believe it was a Larry, some kind of talk show that was on the radio. I found out later. So I couldn't get any other radio stations in. And so all of a sudden I heard this man who would Larry introduce Sylvia Brown on the show. And of course, I didn't remember all this until later. I just remembered it was a talk show and people called in with their birthdays and got a reading on when their next love was coming into their life. So this woman called in with my birthday, and I'm not going to say it here, but she called in with my birthday and I was like, oh, yay. And because I didn't have a boyfriend at the time. And sure enough, what she stated to this caller on the radio was at the end of the summer, early fall is when I would meet my future love. So, and sure enough, I went to the Philadelphia Folk Festival and I fell in love with this man, and we were together for 19 years. And some other things were transpiring in my home at that time. And so I was upstairs and I was just crying my eyes out. And all of a sudden, I was shocked. I heard this woman with a very raspy voice, almost mean. And she said, you will not be working at the casino. You will be spending time helping others. And I like jumped out of my bed and was like, oh my God, what was that? And then I ran downstairs and told my husband. I was like, some woman just spoke to me. And I told him what she said. And he goes, well, there you go. Stop crying that you're not getting this job. Basically, I guess is what he was trying to tell me. But later, I met somebody outside of church and he told me to delve into the Bible more. He said that this church that you belong to doesn't really have people reading the Bible, which is the closest way to get to God from his interpretation. So I started reading the Bible, and this particular day I was by myself in my bedroom. I was married a second time at this time, and I was having troubles with the second husband. So I went off into the bedroom to quiet and peace and started to read the book of Daniel. I actually did finish it. And I came downstairs and some kind of fight ensued. And as soon as my husband slammed the door to go out to a store or something, but he never slammed the door, but this day he did. And all of a sudden my phone rang and it said spam. And I never answer spam calls, but something in my head said, answer that call. And this man says, Marie, it's Danny. And I'm like, Danny who? And he said his last name and I didn't understand it. And I was like, what, who is this? Like, what are you talking about? And I was crying. And I said, listen, I don't know who you are, but I'm so upset right now. I said, me and my husband are having disagreements about the second coming of God. And I am so faithful and I'm so ready for him to come. And he just wasn't with me on it. And thought that I was acting irrationally, which I was. I actually absolutely was. But it's amazing what spirit does to you. Spirit brought me in kind of like as a, like a religious freak and chased the people away that were going to interfere with God's plans for me in my life, I believe, because I've been by myself since December of 2022. And I've had some wonderful spiritual enlightenments and downloads is what some people call them. And I just know that I'm supposed to spend my life helping and heal people. I've actually prayed with people, sent them some old religious Catholic cards in hopes that they would heal. And I've received letters back of how people healed. And I work with energies and I listen to people's problems and I just try to send them in the right direction. And I feel that I've touched many, many people with things that came out of my mouth through God that helped them change their lives, whether it means that they leave the current person they're not happy with or whatever it is that they're going through. I think
Marie, Sylvia, what happened to Sylvia? You never finished the story.
Okay. So I was laying in my bed crying and she spoke to me.
How did you know it was Sylvia?
Oh, that's right. Okay. So after I read the book of Daniel and that man was on the phone, he said to me, just out of the blue, he says, do you know Sylvia? And I said, Sylvia who? Like, what is it? Like, I did not understand anything that was going on at this time. But believe me, as soon as I hung up that phone, I was able to wrap things together with, I had heard somebody say the day before, oh, brown is your color, brown. And so immediately my brain put together Sylvia Brown. And I had heard of the name, but didn't know anything about her. And so I went on YouTube and here I found out that she was on the Larry King show. There he is, Larry King show, and on a radio show. And that was the person that I heard talk about my future love. And so I was led to her book. And I listened to it from the YouTube video, and it made me realize that I have a lot more ahead of me to do for God.
Okay. Getting back to, you were talking about the book of Daniel, the second coming of Christ. Do you still believe that Christ is coming back?
I'm so glad you asked that question. I believe that the second coming of Christ was what I experienced from December 2022 till now. I believe that Christ came back into my life, healed me.
Okay, but you're not in Daniel. They talk about a general second coming where Jesus reappears and he does, I guess, all the things he did back in his original life.
No.
Good. Because
no, I don't. No, I believe that the second coming is when he actually comes to us in spirit.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. I think that's a great idea.
I connect with spirit all through the birds, all through signs, songs, videos, all kinds of things. And I've always been this like detective type of person my whole life. I pick up little little odds and ends of things all around that people don't notice. And I have done this my whole life. So I realize I have some gifts.
Everybody has a gift. All you have to do is ask for God and he will. Every word of, they tell us every word of prayer that you say is, he hears. If you pray to the angels, they hear. But every word of prayer is heard by somebody.
Absolutely.
And if you have the willpower, and apparently you do, it's very impressive that you've been able to beat all the bad things that happened to you in your life.
Oh, there's more. I've had I've had spirits speak to me before a suicide, alerting me to get up and get out. And I was scared when I heard this man yell to me, get up. But I paid attention and I got up and I got out, and I guess I was, you know, safe out of harm. And I also, my mom, passed in 2019, and I went to an energy healer, and on my third visit to the energy healer, my mom came in the room basically because my fingertips turned purple, which is some type of symptom that she had before she died. And the counselor, energy healer lady said to me, what's going on? Are you okay? And I just started bawling right away. And I said, can I use your ladies' room? And I went into the bathroom and I just said, Mom, you're here? Are you here? And she started speaking into my brain, and then she showed me a video of her. Unfortunately, she had bad circulation and had a humongous ulcer on her leg that wouldn't heal. And she told me that what I'm doing will help me heal, which is releasing negative energy, which is basically you just... think of something and it makes you sad and you pull it out and you release it and you look to the left just with your hand, just with your eyes, and you drop it. That's how you release negative energy.
That was interesting. We don't hear many stories of talking to your mother in the bathroom.
Yeah, it was and there were words that were used that are not part of my vocabulary that I can't even remember today, but I searched the internet about people hearing voices and things like this, and I got a confirmation that they do that on purpose so that they know that you're not going crazy.
Many people have problems with that, and sometimes we do run into people that actually do have mental problems, and we've got to be very careful when we talk with them. It's all part of a challenging life plan, and you've got to do.
I'm not mental, thank you, God. A lot of people think I am. A lot of people think I'm crazy, depressed. But God saved me.
If they think you're crazy, what do you think about? They think about Connie and myself.
I don't know, but I love you both.
They think that we're in another planet.
I've always loved you, and just so you know, God did bring me to your channel. I would pray to God and say, YouTube is so vast. What do you want me to listen to? Because I can't really lie. I can lie to save my butt, but I'm really not a liar. And I forgot where I was going with this, but all I know is that I was led to YouTube. I get up at Spirit wakes me up at 3 a.m. and my favorite number and spiritual number is 321. I have miracles with that number as well. But unfortunately, I get woken up at all hours of the morning and being told to turn on the TV and get some information. And well,
thank God. God
led me to both of you.
Well, thank God at that hour of the morning, you don't give us a call. All right, Marie.
I'm used to it now. It's been happening for years.
Okay. Very good. Marie, thank you so much. We really appreciate you coming through and telling your stories for us. You're a good person. We can see that. And keep doing good.
I'm going to try.
Okay.
Thanks so much. God bless you.
Okay. Goodbye, Marie.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you go. There's a woman that's had some amazing stories. I hope you enjoyed them.
Thank you, Marie, for taking time to tell us about your spirit interactions. If you'd like to participate in a show, please send an email to onestrom@gmail.com and describe who you would like to channel and what your questions are about. Barry will get back to you and set up a time to record. You'll need a decent camera and mic since this is for YouTube Live. We're currently looking for people with near-death experiences.
Yes, if you have something interesting that happened to you, supernatural, deals with the paranormal, send us an email. We're always looking for interesting stories. So I'm going to slip a small commercial in here. My 10th book, Modern Messages of the Archangels, is now available for purchase. It can be purchased on paperback, audiobook, hardcover, ebook on Amazon. If you want a signed copy, you can only get that on my website. And that's barrystrom.com. That's Barry Strom. It's Strom with an M.com. During the past years, Connie and I have channeled over 20 archangels. And in this book, we bring you their messages. And they are wonderful messages. We have other books on available on Amazon. I've written 10 of them. We have books covering the Gettysburg Battlefield ghosts, afterlife, aliens, conspiracies, the life of Jesus, messages of God. And now, messages of the archangels. We even have a book, Channeling Muhammad. And I think that anybody would be very well served by reading this book. His words are very, very good. He believes in peace as well, and that's what we need right now.
So thank you all for listening to our podcast, Hello Heaven. Our hope is to have listeners understand the truth about the afterlife. So I hope you enjoyed the show, and please tell others about us. If you'd like to listen to this show live, join us on YouTube and Facebook Live in our Words of God Then and Now group, or Barry's personal page at 6 p.m. Pacific time on Fridays. The audio of our shows can be heard at helloheaven.podbean.com, on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Alexa, Spotify, iHeart, and all the major platforms. So please tell your friends about our shows. There's no better advertising than the words of mouth.
So I'd like to thank you for joining us on Hello Heaven. Please tell your friends about it. There's no better way than words of mouth. There are many, many people that could well use the information that we bring you. What we bring you is the honesty, the truth, the words of God. So join us each week. We have other shows on Wednesdays, we have a weekly message from Jesus. Sunday mornings, we bring you a Sunday sermon. And Sunday nights, we do our old show, Channeling History. So you've got a lot of time to listen to our information. So thank you once again. Goodbye. And thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to Hello Heaven. Please join us Fridays at 6 p.m. Pacific time on YouTube and Facebook. You can hear us on multiple audio platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, Alexa, and other media platforms as well. If you'd like to appear on the show, send an email to onestrom@gmail.com and tell us your story. Have a great week. Tell your friends about our show. They'll thank you for it. Music is by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com.